I will be starting to read at verse 4, since we read the other before. But listen as I read for the words, listen, spirit, world, word, and breath. Listen for spirit, word, and breath. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. And I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come, breath, from the four wings and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people. I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. I have done it, declares the Lord. Blessing Steve as you finish.
So this story from Ezekiel is all about resurrection, you know, these bones coming together and life being breathed into them. And in my office, you may have noticed there's a picture there or a saying, and it says, have the courage to try and to risk and to fail, because the only thing God cannot resurrect is nothing. And I think there's a little wordplay there. The second line, the only thing that God can't resurrect is nothing. I think there's two meanings there. The one is, what can God not resurrect? Nothing. You know, he can even call to life, you know, call creation to life. He can breathe life into this virgin teenager and, she's bearing a child. God can resurrect these very dry bones that seem to have no life in them. But I think the meaning of this saying was to give inspiration that the only thing God can't resurrect is nothing. The only thing God can't work with is if you have no faith or if you offer nothing. But I think even then, God can work, but it's meant to be a word of inspiration as we offer even our, you know, what is it, 5 loaves and 2 fish? Not much at all, but God can take that and create life and provision. So Ezekiel is taken to this valley of dry bones, and there's no hope. And this question is raised by God to Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, God, you know. And I think reading between the lines, Ezekiel is saying, I can't even fathom that there could be any life that could come out of these dry bones laying here. But you're God, you know. And so God inspires Ezekiel to prophesy. God gives Ezekiel the faith, the words, the inspiration, the capability to prophesy and have these bones come to life. The word for today, if you've noticed in some of the readings, is peace. Last week was hope, this week is peace. Resurrection gives a sense of peace. The hope of resurrection puts peace in our hearts. When Jesus was resurrected, his word, when he would find his disciples, peace be with you. Be at peace. I'm alive. We can have peace knowing there's resurrection hope. And I think that's behind this scripture here. But I want to think for a little bit, you know, Ezekiel obviously is an Old Testament prophet. What does the Old Testament say about resurrection? Because there's not a lot in the Old Testament to talk about the resurrection of the body, as we often talk about that. Even as we die, yet shall we live again. In the Old Testament, a lot of the themes of resurrection have to do with the restoration of the community. The people of Israel, somehow, they were dead or they were in bondage, but God came and rescued them and gave them life. Ezekiel here is writing from Babylon. He's one of the captives, one of the exiles who was taken away. And he quotes his own people saying, we are cut off. That's the feeling, like we're distant from God. God seems so far away back in Jerusalem, back at the temple, and we're at this place forsaken of God. We're experiencing his discipline. It's like we're in the grave. There's no breath in us. We're just very dry bones. But the themes throughout the Old Testament is that the Lord is the one who delivers. The Lord is this warrior who rescues his people. He leads them back into a fertile place, a place again of God's abundance, a place where God is there with them. He is their God. They are his people. There's that sense of that kind of resurrection hope that the people once again will live as God intended them to live. And in Ezekiel here, the three or four previous chapters, there's three visions that Ezekiel has. And if you read them, the one, Ezekiel gets this vision of a renewed community, his people, where they have a new heart and they have a new spirit. No longer do you have a heart of stone, you'll have a heart of flesh. So it's a renewed people, not just returned from exile, but a new spirit within them. The hope and the presence of God is fully with them again. Another, that they're living again in this, back in a land that is renewed, where God's provision and God's abundance and God's presence and love is there with them. And the third one talks about that there's going to be this shepherd leader. I will set a shepherd over them. He will feed them, namely my servant David. He will feed them and will be their shepherd. The Lord will be their God, and my servant David will be prince over them. Nice foreshadowing of Jesus coming as our good shepherd. So with these themes of renewal, of returning again to the abundance of life that the people could find in God, it's not a far step then to ponder the resurrection of the body. And in one of the latest writings in the Old Testament, Daniel 12, Daniel writes, many of those who sleep in the dusty land will wake up, some to eternal life, others to eternal disgrace. But this sense that for the first time, this mention of the people experiencing some kind of a personal resurrection, a sense of new life for the people of God. And so now Jesus, you know, is revealed to us, the resurrected one. Jesus himself declaring, I'm the resurrection, I'm the life. You know, I am the way now where the breath of God will come and fill you and give you life. All who believe in me will never die. And John, talking about being amazed, John has this vision. We know it as his revelation. And in chapter one, John writes, when I saw him, when I had a vision of Jesus, I fell at his feet like a dead man. Talk about being amazed, just being so overwhelmed with awe, the glory of God in Jesus that he saw. He just fell like he was a dead man. But Jesus put his right hand on me and said, "Don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. And I was dead, but look, now I'm alive forever and always." Just like those bones who received what the tendons, the muscles, the skin, and finally the breath, and they stood there alive. There's Jesus standing over John in this vision. There's Jesus amongst his disciples after his resurrection, standing. You know, "I'm alive forever and always, and I have the keys of death and the grave." So before we leave scripture and think about resurrection, one more thing I'd like to share, and it's how Paul describes resurrection. And you can tell Paul knew the Old Testament. You can hear the same kind of themes coming up. And Chris had us think about where we heard breath, where we heard spirit, and also wind. It's the same word. The Hebrew readers would have seen the same word wherever spirit, wherever wind, wherever breath was spoken in this particular chapter. But wherever the Spirit of God is breathing and moving and filling, that's where life is. So Paul writes in Romans 8, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you," if that breath was breathed into you, the Spirit of God. "And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you." That breath of life. "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear, but it's the Spirit that you received that has brought about your adoption to sonship, so we can cry, 'Abba, Father.'" Part of resurrection or restoration in the Old Testament was we again are the people of God. He is with us. He is our God. We are his people. Paul here is saying, with the Spirit of God in us, we cry out, "Abba, Father. We belong to you. You are here with us. We belong to you." The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we're God's children, then we're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if we share in his sufferings and if we share in his glory. So the message of today is, be amazed. See and witness the life that God breathes in, the life that God breathed into you, the change, the life that you experience, the ways that you see it all around, the ways that we've read it in scripture. And be at peace, because God makes that which is dead alive again. And so there's always hope. So I want to just bring this home to think about how this applies to us. We have a meeting today. It's that time of year when we think about the year ahead, where we're moving as a congregation. I don't think any of us, I hope, would say we're a congregation of dry bones. You know, we're cut off from God. You know, that we have no experience of God in our midst. He feels so distant. But in some ways, we're stepping into a new reality, and we're asking some questions like, what life will we have as a community together? And asking questions like, how viable can we continue to be? And I looked up viable, capable of surviving and living successfully, capable of continuing to live and to move. So I want to just give some perspective on this for us. I listened to a podcast, and I forget even what the topic was, but I remember the illustration. And he was talking about the fact that a plane has these two aspects to it that he wanted to bring out. A plane has a certain structure. The wings are designed. I know there's, like, I've seen out the window, there's, I guess it's the flaps that go up and down. If they're down, they must create resistance, so you slow down, things like that. But there's a design to it that allows that plane to fly. So there's structure that makes a plane capable. But there's also a purpose. Like, planes were created not just because it might be fun to create a flying machine, but they have a purpose to it, right? They transport people, they transport goods. Maybe it's for recreation, you know, and so lots of purposes for why we would want a flying machine to carry things. So with those two, aspects of a plane, I'd like to add a third one. And that's the fuel. You know, you need that fuel to give it the boost to actually take off. So the structure of it, the purpose of it, and then the fuel to make it go. So I'd like to think about those things as far as a church, what a church is, how a church has life. Sorry, I went too far here. So thinking about us, the structure, the shape of our ministry, and that's probably where we're feeling the most challenge, our particular structure. Do we have a pool of people to give leadership? Do we have a pool of people to provide ministry one to another? And how do we arrange this pool of people and release them to serve so that they feel like they have passion and purpose in serving? We've talked about how do we simplify things? How can we be more flexible? How can we be more nimble at how we provide ministry so that it can happen in an effective, powerful way? So this is the structure of a congregation. But there's more to think about when we think about the life of our church. There's also our purpose. Do we have a sense of purpose? Do we have a sense of faith? Do we have the identity that we're the body of Christ? Things like, are we a worshiping community? Is there that inspiration to worship? Do we edify or build up each other in our faith? Do we disciple people towards maturity? Are we giving witness of Jesus to those around us? Do we care for each other? You know, do we still have that sense of purpose? That's another thing that gives us, that allows us to have life. And then the third is that fuel or that power. And we see it in this scripture with the Holy Spirit, that is breathed into us. From beyond our own capabilities, the Holy Spirit moves. And are we open to that? Are we, like Ezekiel, open to the Spirit of God coming, and Ezekiel given this call to prophesy to these bones. Ezekiel given this inspiration from God, this empowerment to prophesy, and emboldening him to actually stand up there and prophesy to these bones. As crazy as it might seem to speak over dry bones and believe that they'll come to life. So as we think and ponder who we are as a church and what life will we continue to have, we need to ponder what that structure, what that form will look like and how to do that well. But also, where is our faith and a sense of purpose to carry out the will of God, to be the body of Christ, and to be open that the Spirit of God would come and like Ezekiel would inspire us, would empower us, would embolden us to continue to serve him. So, you know, like Ezekiel there in that plain, will we be a resurrected community about to take off into a whole season of new ministry? And all we can say is, God, you know. You know, you're the one who breathes life and your Spirit moves as it will. We'll continue to trust you. Is it possible that we're near a decision to say, it's enough? God, you know. But today, God's given us his Spirit. God's given us his creativity, to think about and to ponder and to shape things, that we can be faithful and effective people, ministers for him in this day. Whether there's an explosion of life or whether we soon say enough, If that's true, we'll celebrate our history. We'll celebrate the glory of Jesus. We'll be amazed at what the Spirit's done. We'll be amazed at what the Spirit continues to do and what the Spirit will do. But whatever it is, we will trust that the Spirit of God is going to be moving amongst us. So I hope that that's a word of encouragement to put ourselves in the position of Ezekiel, not knowing what God can do, but trusting and saying, you know, you tell me to prophesy, I'm going to prophesy over these bones. I'm going to be faithful today and trust you for whatever that means for my people in the future. So may God bless us as his people. May resurrection continually fill our individual lives in our church and this world for Jesus' sake. Amen.